Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Hey, y'all. Lauren here. And on this week's episode of That Twin Mama Podcast, we're talking all things pelvic floor and vaginal health. I don't know how many of y'all know this, but when I gave birth to my twins, they broke my pelvic bone. Baby B, I think she thought she was like a yoga instructor or something, because she came out butt first, forward fold. And then by the time like the adrenaline had worn off and my epidural had worn off and it was time for me to get up, your girl could not. Okay. It was excruciatingly painful. I was in the hospital for like 2 more weeks and then a walker after that. So all to say, it was at that point that I was like, dang, I really wish I had a pelvic floor therapist. And I'm like still healing to this day. So this week we talked to Dr. Janelle Howell, AKA the vagina rehab doctor, on all things pelvic floor therapy and vaginal health. Another thing that I had done prior to conceiving twins was your girl had struggled with acne for years. And I finally went to a holistic doctor and we did a whole year of like gut health, eliminating foods that I was sensitive to. And I was told because we had done like a whole hormonal balance check, they were like, girl, you ain't gonna be able to have more kids if you want to, because your stuff is all jacked. I was like, cool. I'm not even upset with that. Like, I need to heal my skin. And then fast forward a year, like a side effect in a way was like me becoming pregnant with twins. By healing my gut, I helped heal my hormones. So we also talk about foods that support vaginal health and that gut vagina connection. And then there's just things that like while you're pregnant that you don't even may not even realize is about your pelvic floor, but like, you know how you have to pee all the time when you're pregnant. I'm talking to you pregnant people. And then like after you have babies, like sometimes when you jump or sneeze, a little bit of pee comes out. Like it's just all the things. And even just like your sex life pre, post, and during pregnancy, we talk about it all. So if you are a mother, a soon to be mother, a sister, a daughter, anybody with a vagina, even if you don't identify as a woman, this episode, you're going to get something from it. If you are a vagina CEO, is a term that is coined by Dr. Janelle Howell, which I love. If you got a vagina, you're going to learn something from this episode. And then to my people with penises, I don't know what to call y'all, but even if you don't have a vagina, there are some gems in this if you want to learn a little bit about what we got going on down there that will help you. So let's get into it, learn a lot, and I hope y'all enjoy. Welcome, y'all, to That Twin Mama Podcast. I am so beyond excited for our guest today, y'all. I've been a stan for her for a minute, fangirling over here. We have Dr. Janelle Howell, who is a doctor of physical therapy and a woman certified specialist, AKA the vagina rehab doctor, preaching the vagina gospel, y'all. Hallelujah. Love her stuff. Dr. Howell is a pelvic floor therapist and board certified women's health specialist who has taken social media and content creation by storm with over 250,000 followers and over a million of views on multiple platforms. She's also the owner and the founder of V Rehab Services, LLC, an online and global educational business that teaches women and people how to overcome sexual pain, urinary incontinence, so they can live a life of pleasure and confidence. Her primary audience online are individuals that she has coined vagina CEOs, which is an inclusive term allowing individuals who do not identify as women to feel welcome. Her content is focused on open, honest, and inspirational awareness regarding vaginal health, pelvic floor fitness, and sexual wellness. Her self-proclaimed job is to create a global culture of radical vaginal health and unapologetic self-love and care with a top-notch quality of education and a little entertainment, y'all. Thank you for being here, sis. Welcome, Dr. Janelle Howell. How are you?
Yes, thank you. I'm super excited to be here. I love that you are promoting mom health, mom entrepreneurship type stuff, and I'm just here for it. Anything related to the pelvic floor and your vagina, you know, I'll talk
love
about
it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm excited for you to be here too, sis. It's so interesting because like this topic, I feel like is not talked about. Like there's misinformation, I feel like, on social media. Girl, I know you know. And there's also
so much.
I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Like, so there's that. And then I also feel like on certain platforms, like you're just censored for like showing a vagina, like just for educational purposes, which is why I think you started your podcast, correct?
Absolutely. Like I have been getting punished for years in terms of my content getting deleted, my content getting reported. Wild. And I'm not someone who, like, there are other educators online who are a little bit more, like there are people who teach like writing classes and classes. And I'm not even doing that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm definitely a little bit more educational when it comes to the pelvis, the vagina, and sexual wellness.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because there's so much shame around our bodies that even when your focus is on just education and getting people to understand their bodies, you can be punished for that. And so I'm right there with you in the podcast world, definitely starting, so not where you're at, but I'm excited to, you know, just use another platform in addition to social media because it has its place to really reach the world and teach women and people about their vaginas.
I love that. Yes. And your podcast is so good, y'all. You definitely should check out the Vagina Rehab Doctor podcast. I listen extensively. But like, how did you get into this work? Where did this passion for like vaginal health come from?
Well, I have to be honest. When I went to physical therapy school back in 2015, we got to the part where we learned about women's health physical therapy. And I thought it was interesting. I was like, oh my gosh, I would love to do this. But that's really all it was. It was a very short class. It didn't really teach us enough about the pelvis and pelvic floor therapy. And so when I finished school, I just went into the regular orthopedics, you know, my knee hurts, my back hurts, my ankle hurts, that sort of thing. And then I went into traveling physical therapy. And then when I was doing that, my recruiter told me about a position in women's health. And I was like, oh my gosh, I put my name in. I want to be in the game. Like, put me in the game, coach. So I got the position and literally that was just the beginning. I just kept staying in it. I was actually only supposed to do a 3-month contract because when you're a traveling therapist, that's really, that's the length of your assignment.
Right.
And I renewed that 3-month contract for a whole year.
Wow.
All I was treating was incontinence, infrequent urination, urgent urination, that feeling that you got to pee real bad.
Yes. Mom's pet, yes.
Right. Like putting the key through the door and you feel like you got to run out the house.
Trickling down the leg. Yes.
Yes. That's all I treated for a year. And eventually I was like, okay, well, clearly I love this. So then I was like, let me specialize. And that's when I did my residency here in Chicago at Loyola. And that's just where it was. I wasn't even sharing it publicly though. It was just my career because not everyone talks about their career on social media you can just see their career. So that's what it was for me for a while. But when the pandemic, when the pandemic started, I shifted because I was all about travel for a while. And that's all I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
The airline shut down. Yeah, I can't talk about traveling every day. I was like, okay, we're going to talk about vagina. And it has just taken off. So that's kind of my story on how I got into it.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. And I just love that you're a Black woman in this space because I don't know. I just don't see that many of us like really talking about it, putting themselves out there. Maybe because there's like stigmas attached to being educated about your vagina and being a woman of color. But I just appreciate you taking up space and being educated in it, but also hilarious. Like it's not super serious. So I just appreciate you taking up spaces. Oh,
thank you. I really appreciate you too, as a Black woman and someone who's sharing your platform. You know, it can be difficult, I would say, collaborating with other, I don't want to call you an influencer because you're not just an influencer.
Right.
I want to say educators.
Right.
Who also share a similar platform or at least a similar goal. So
yes.
Thank you for sharing the platform with me so we can sort of cross promote each other.
Exactly. We're going to make magic happen, sis. Okay. So let's get into it. Cause I feel like, first of all, I'm probably guilty of this. I feel like everybody just calls pelvic floor, vagina. They don't really know like all the terms. And I know for all intents and purposes, we're going to be getting into, you might say specific things around what the pelvic floor, you might refer to pelvic floor, vagina, vulva. So maybe like briefly, what are some key terms that you can maybe define and like make sure that we're on the same page as far as anatomy goes, and like not everything pelvic floor is just your vagina hole.
Right. Yeah. That is such a good question. So whenever we say vagina, or whenever I say vagina, I'm referring to the actual tube inside that you can't see.
Got it.
Where the penis goes, the canal the baby comes out, where your tampon is sitting, that's the vagina.
Got it.
Everything else on the outside that we can see with our eyes is not the vagina, and that's the vulva.
What?
Even the vaginal opening is part of the vulva. And the language is so important because the vulva houses our clitoris.
Yes.
And that is the organ that really helps women and anyone who has a vagina, even if you don't identify as a woman, to achieve their pleasure.
Yeah.
We keep saying penis, vagina. This is why I get questions all the time talking about, Janelle, I can't orgasm from penis.
Girl, that was a question.
Nothing's wrong. It's not impossible for you to orgasm from it, but it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. Because your clitoris is not in your vagina. It's inside of your vulva. It's on the outside. So, well, part of the clitoris is on the outside, the most sensitive part that typically brings us to orgasm. So the language is really important. I really appreciate this question. So everything that you can see is vulva. Huh. The canal inside is vagina. And pelvic floor is not a hole. It's a whole group of muscles with like 30 plus different muscles that support your uterus, your rectum, your bladder. So pee pee problems, poo poo problems, vagina problems in pregnancy and postpartum, those muscles are supporting most of those functions, sexual function, of course, as well.
Wow. Okay. See, that's how we need to get clear, because I'm just learning stuff. I've been listening to you, and like just getting clear on those terms in such a specific way is profound. And the fact that you're even naming, I don't know how many women have said to me, like even when we were growing up, just like experimenting with sex, like I don't orgasm from just the penis going inside and out. Like, and I thought that was weird. I was like, yeah, I don't either. Like, if there's something wrong. And then you just naming like, yeah, that's normal. It could be your G spot, but it might not. Like it's, there's a whole bunch of anatomy going on of how you get pleasure down there.
Totally. And we have to normalize what's normal.
Like, yes.
It's you're actually a unicorn if you're orgasming from something.
Good for you.
That's
good for you, girl. Yes.
And you're not abnormal, but you're more so you're the exception.
Yeah.
And there are definitely ways to, I would say, increase your chance of orgasming from penetration. There are ways to try and learn.
Yeah.
But the easiest, most common, most reliable way for us to get there is stimulating the clitoris and the head of the clitoris, so on the outside. So that is why we have to pay attention to the so many different erogenous zones along the whole region beyond just the clitoral head too.
Right. So, Don't ignore the vulva. Don't ignore it. Give the vulva the love. Give the vulva some love and you gotta talk about it.
I call it big vulva energy because, you know, people with penises, men, they feel good about themselves when their penis is big.
Yeah.
For us, if you have big lips, you want to cut it off.
Right.
Plasty. Oh, something is wrong with you. No, child, that thing is erectile. It feels your blood. You got to rock that big vulva energy.
I love that. They got BDE, big dick energy. We got big vulva energy.
Exactly.
I'm here for it.
Girl.
Yes, sis. Okay. So let's get into it. I, again, have listened to your podcast extensively. And a lot of questions I'm getting from my followers is like, we have a lot of mothers that follow me. There's a lot of people who want to be pregnant. There's a lot of just people who are maybe thinking about how to be more fertile, how to get my body completely ready to like grow a human. So pre-pregnancy stuff, like let's say you had an episode on just like foods and things that you give into your body that create like great vaginal health, including like ovulation and fertility. What are those foods? And what would you say is that like, I guess there's something to it. I didn't know if that was like a myth, but it sounds like nah. There's stuff that you could be feeding your body for all these things.
Totally.
Tell me about it.
Totally. Definitely not a myth. If we have to eat 2 to 3 times a day, you might as well eat nutrients that help you with specific things.
Yeah.
So I like to think of nutrients as like, like workers in a manufacturing department.
Yeah.
If the people don't go to work, those machines are just not going to work. They're not going to work themselves. Someone has to be. You know, someone has to put the boxes on the assembly line. And so like vitamin C, for example, we can't even make collagen without vitamin C. So our vaginal walls are made And this, you know, this
let
is
me get some orange juice.
We're out here selling these collagen packets and whatnot.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, that's helpful, but you also still need nutrients that help your body to naturally manufacture.
Yes.
So collagen is needed plus, vitamin C plus protein,
right?
Amino acids help us to make collagen. So for the vagina, this is huge because the vaginal wall is made primarily of collagen, which is a specific type of protein. And so you need the vaginal wall to stay thick and healthy, to help you with obviously lubrication and strength and pelvic floor support and all of that.
Yeah.
And so I talk about vitamin C rich foods like blueberries and cauliflower and obviously citrus fruits. And so that's one. Another one I would say is salmon, because it's high in omega-3s, and omega-3s helps us to make hormones, and also it helps us to fight pain. So a lot of women and people struggle with pelvic pain, painful periods, painful sex, bladder. And so omegas can help to make, when we're having a painful period, there's something called a prostaglandin. And that's what, those are the chemicals that make our uterus contract. But there are inflammatory prostaglandins, which cause the pain, and anti-inflammatory prostaglandins. And omega-3s helps us to make those anti-inflammatory, which can tremendously decrease your period pain and your overall pain in general.
Girl,
so omega-3s can be found in salmon, chia seeds, almonds, olive oil, right? So those healthy fats are really going to be helpful for overall vaginal and pelvic health. You want me to keep going?
No, I feel like that's amazing. And it's interesting because like you kind of named it, like there's these collagen packs and there's vitamins you can take, but like nothing's going to absorb nutrients better than just food. Like food is like your best source of getting stuff your body needs.
Yes.
So like I'm about to add all the salmon to my cart because I have really painful periods currently. I always have. And I mean, I didn't even know that was something that I could do. Like
Let me say one more thing. So that in combination with decreasing processed sugar. I'm not talking about fruits, and I'm not talking about whole grain bread that eventually turns into sugar. I'm not even talking about like a controlled portion of a dessert after a meal.
Right.
But many of us are like eating a bagel or a donut and coffee, and that's our whole breakfast.
Yeah.
Nothing with sugar. Or maybe we have a bowl of cereal. We haven't combined it with any protein to slow down that rise in sugar in the bloodstream. That's going to create more inflammation in the uterus and contribute to painful periods.
Yo, see, it's so all connected. And like, I'm such a believer in this because like, I've told this to a couple of, like, I've shared this a couple of times, but one of the biggest contributors to where, like, people are like, how'd you get twins? And like, it was completely a surprise. But I do think one thing I did a year of was like gut health, like was trying to,
my gosh.
They're in a marriage. Yes.
They are talking to each other.
All the
time. There's actually research studies that are called the gut vagina crosstalk. Yes. Because they're the biggest microbiome.
Right,
we have the gut microbiome and the vaginal microbiome where all this bacteria lives.
Yo.
The rectum is right behind the vagina.
Right.
So there has to be some interdependence between vaginal health and gut health because they are so closely connected physically, but then also their function. They have the bacteria, the good bacteria.
Right.
So listen, if your gut health is poor, you're probably going to have more yeast infections.
Yes, yes.
You're probably going to have more UTIs.
Exactly. And you're probably going to have a harder time getting pregnant. Like I was told, I was going in for my skin because I had really bad acne. And she was like, are you trying to have kids? Because it's going to be real hard for you. I was like, no, I'm good, sis. This is for this. I wasn't even thinking about kids. We had our first. I wasn't on my radar. Fast forward, I cured my skin. And then boom, I was pregnant with twins.
What?
That was just that was just a symptom or whatever you call it of that. That wasn't the goal, but that's what happened, right? So I'm telling you, all that stuff is connected. The gut, your hormones, your vaginal health. Of course it's connected to your pelvic floor. Like you poop from your gut. Like it's all, they're all in like this little click talking like, yo, she doing this, I'm gonna do this then. Like Seriously.
Okay, so let me tell you this. And by the way, your skin glows.
Oh, thank you, sis.
So y'all can't see her face right now, but y'all, I'm sure y'all follow her on Instagram, so y'all know her skin
glows. It took a long time. I'm going to put
Did, I need the rundown right after this podcast is done.
I will. I got you.
Three zit on my chin right now.
I got you, girl. But
let me tell you this. So I struggle with my hormonal health because I have polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yes.
So for people who don't know, essentially it's the number one cause of infertility. Missing periods is common. Male pattern hair growth, when we have hair on the chin, mustache, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So that's my thing. And what's interesting is that a little over a week ago, I had a period that was just not stopping. It was like going on 10 days or something. I got to the 10-day mark and I was like, oh my God, I have to do something. And I've already done the whole go to the doctor, they give you the birth control pill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop your period. But if you ever want to get pregnant in the future, you have to fix your period problems.
Yes. Yes.
Just be on the pill forever.
Snapping.
So for me, I was like, okay, I'm not doing the whole pill route again because sometimes that doesn't even work.
Exactly.
So I was like, herbal teas. I'm going to give herbal teas a try. I'm going to try and stay consistent. I looked up online the best teas for like not ovulating, PCOS.
Yeah.
I went there and also got teas that were specifically for your liver because your liver is so vital in balancing your estrogen levels, right? So I combined teas that were really common for just women's health plus liver stuff. Within 4 days, my period stopped. Let me tell you this. My previous period lasted almost 2 months.
Girl, bye. Nope.
I quit. 2 months.
I quit.
And people don't talk about this enough, but listen, it is so common for the PCOS community and
just
people who have heavy periods and don't have PCOS. So that was the first thing. Then I went back to the tea shop. I was like, oh, let me go back. So I went back to the tea shop and I created my own blend, not for stopping my period, because I was like, okay, my period has stopped. I want to focus on just my hormonal health.
Right.
COS. So I got teas like spearmint because that's good for lowering testosterone. I got ginger because that's good for your gastrointestinal.
Yes.
I got
some
things that I combined it together. And when I tell you my bloating has completely vanished.
Girl,
like I literally am just calling myself skinny girl now.
Girl, I'm not skinny by no means.
I'm not skinny by no means, but my stomach is not constantly looking pregnant. Right?
Because that is a thing, especially with our period.
Yes.
We feel like that every month. Oh my gosh.
The combo though, while we're on this topic of gut health, this is the thing that really got me. I can feel that I'm approaching ovulation.
Mm.
And for me, it actually usually takes longer. Again, because when you have PCOS, you don't always ovulate. Therefore, you don't always get your period.
Got it. Yeah.
And therefore, have a more difficult time getting pregnant. Listen, yesterday I was not aroused at all. I was like, why do I feel so wet?
Ooh.
Right?
Because
it's not an arousal wetness. It's just all of a sudden you feel more moisture.
Nice. Oh,
and I was like, y'all, this herbal tea. But I saw the connection between my gut and my vagina and obviously ovulation and all of that. So I literally did an ovulation test yesterday. I'm not quite there, but I can tell it's approaching.
It's coming.
Yeah. So I love that you brought that up, like focusing on your gut. How do you feel after a meal?
Yes.
Feel bloated and pain.
You shouldn't. Exactly.
And tired and... Listen, we know they ain't doing nothing
we
good.
We know that is what, girl, you need to package up that tea and start selling it. I don't know what it is, but sign me up.
I'm still doing my research because, you know, you got to do due diligence with people.
Right, exactly.
Health conditions.
You keep
But listen, I'm writing down all the changes.
Documents.
Yes, girl. I'm drinking it right now.
Yes, there you go. Let me get some of that. I'm loving that you're bringing this up because I've not been affected. Well, maybe I am affected by PCOS because I've really, so how does someone know that they have it? Because I have friends that they know they've gone to the doctor because they didn't get a period, but you're also saying that someone with it could have a period for a long time or have really painful periods. Like, tell me how do you know if you have it and what, you know, with your
experience? So I'm going to tell you, number one, the official diagnosis has to come from a medical doctor.
Yeah. Okay.
So you cannot say, oh, I listened to the twin mama and
don't
diagnose me on the podcast.
No, y'all.
But
you gotta see.
There are three criteria.
Okay.
And if you have two of the three, essentially you have PCOS.
Got it.
But again, you need to get that confirmed by your gynecologist, medical provider. Number one, you can go typically longer than 35 days without a period.
Mm.
All right. So if you're regularly going longer than, I mean, I know people who can go a year.
Yeah.
They're not pregnant. They're not even having sex. They're just not getting their period. So that's number one. Yeah. Number two, you have either signs of high testosterone, like a lot of hair growing on your upper lip, a lot of
chin hairs,
really bad acne, maybe hair on your belly. So signs of high testosterone, or it's confirmed through a blood test. So you go in and say, okay, I want to check my testosterone levels. If they tell you that it's high and you also have periods that last longer than 35 days, that's already two of the three criteria.
Right.
And then the last thing is cyst on your ovaries. And this is not the big ones that can burst, the painful ones. It's not the same thing.
Oh, right.
It's the small cyst-like sacs. We all have these little cyst-like sacs on our ovaries, but when you have more than you should, that essentially means your body is trying to ovulate each month and it doesn't. So then it makes a new sac, a new follicle, and it tries again. It gives up. Okay. Then it tries again. So you have all these follicles on your ovaries and they don't typically cause pain.
Right.
So if you have pain, it's not necessarily due to the PCOS. It could be because you also have another problem that's contributing to your pain.
Are those little cyst things, are they called polyps by chance or no? Are they different?
They're called follicles.
Follicles. Okay.
Polyps is again, another pelvic health condition.
I had those. So like, I was just like, is those the same things? That is
not
wild.
The same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is super helpful because I feel like sometimes we just don't pay attention to our bodies and what it's trying to tell us. Like it's like saying, okay, I'll just ignore it. Dang, I haven't had my period. And my girlfriend hadn't had it in 5 years. And she was just like,
definitely,
maybe I should go to the doctor.
Either PCOS or she had it. Also another condition that with the thalamus and the hypothalamus. So there's other things you need to check, thyroid and all of that.
Right.
But the most common form or the most common thing contributing to missing periods is usually PCOS.
Right. And that's the most common, like one of the big contributors for infertility. So just make sure you're checking out your cycle, girl. And also just like gut, like we just said, like it might not be that you need to be taking some medicine. It could be just healing your body, starting with your gut and what you're feeding it.
The sugar and stress, honestly, things that I almost said F me up, but then I remembered, like, I can't.
You can say fuck. We got the podcast.
No, I can't because like, I do this thing in my church every weekend.
Okay.
Listen, like stress and sugar.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They will trash your hormones. And especially because when our stress levels go up, our blood sugar levels go up. And that is that. Okay. So PCOS, this is the last thing I'm going to say about PCOS.
Yeah, no, I'm here for it.
About other stuff.
I'm here for it.
The main contributing factor to that with PCOS is insulin resistance.
Huh?
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Insulin resistance means that your body doesn't process sugar very well.
Right.
And it's probably going to contribute to the development of diabetes if you don't do
something. Yes.
50% of us will get diabetes by the time we turn, I think it's 30 or 40. 50%.
Yo.
So this means if you have sugar cravings all the time, you get the sweet tooth, but you also don't get your period, or you have ovarian cysts, all this type of stuff. If you just start working on balancing your meals in terms of getting some protein in your meal, also getting some fiber if you can, if you're going to have something sweet or a carb, eat it last.
Yes.
That alone can make a big difference in combination with decreasing the stress. Like the stress. You can't keep overworking, undersleeping.
All the things
that is killing your hormones.
Yes. And like in a lot of women I know that follow me, like they get stressed about being infertile. They get stressed that they're not, that every pregnancy test is saying no. And like that, not to say that like it's sometimes the stress of you being stressed about it could be also contributing to like a whole entire cycle. So it's just a whole health thing, mental, gut, all of the things.
Girl, while we're on the subject of stress.
Yeah.
You cannot stay pregnant without sufficient progesterone levels. Like maybe you can get pregnant, but it's your progesterone that keeps the uterine lining stable.
Ah, let's get into this.
It supports the growth of the fetus.
Right.
That's what progesterone does. If you don't have enough progesterone, maybe you're getting pregnant and then you're losing it before you even know that you're pregnant.
Right.
Right. So progesterone is so important. And get this. Oh my gosh. If y'all listening, y'all gonna shout on this one. Listen.
Hallelujah.
Listen. When we get stressed, the body secretes cortisol, which is the stress hormone. In order for cortisol to be made, it's made from progesterone. So it's pulling from your progesterone bank every time you get stressed. So literally, If you are overstressed, that could be contributing to your fertility problems. Contributing, I don't want to say cause.
Yeah, right.
Contributing because we're literally depleting our progesterone stores to make cortisol. So if you just literally stop going to that place that stresses you out, texting that person that's stressing you out, staying up late, you're scrolling through Instagram, you can't even get to sleep. That is so overworking. You bring your work home, you can't take a break. Right. That stuff. Oh my gosh. It has been true for my own life. Huh. I didn't bleed for 4 months this year. I did not bleed. This is the longest stretch I've ever gone without my period. And this is the hardest I've worked in my business.
Right. Yep.
Now, has my business been flourishing? Yes.
Yeah.
But has my health been flourishing?
Yeah. No. What'd you trade in, sis? Listen,
so you know what I did? I went to Bali for 12 days.
Girl, yes.
My period came.
Girl, bye.
My period came. Now, everyone can't go to Bali, but right. You can at least take 30 minutes to go stretch. You can take some time to drink some tea in the evening.
To do what you need to.
Do what you can do. Yeah.
So I love that you're making this connection with, I did not know this thing about progesterone, like needing to even sustain a pregnancy. Like I didn't really realize that.
Yes.
Are there things that we can do? Like what?
Let's talk about the medical professionals that can help.
Yeah.
If progesterones are low, you can also get progesterone supplementation. So sometimes it's the stressing less ain't enough. Like need some medical help.
Right. Find out what those levels are.
Yeah. And even cervical insufficiency, one of the major causes of that is low progesterone. So your cervix is not even going to stay closed without enough progesterone.
Wow. Are there things that you can do to naturally get up your progesterone? Or is that like you should seek medical help?
Number one, what we already talked about, you got to start preserving your rest and your leisure.
Okay.
Like that all should connected. Be, that needs to be your business.
Right.
Your business is not being stressed.
Yeah. Go to sleep.
Your business is taking some time for leisure. Like go to the mall, go walk well.
Yeah.
Financial struggles. But go do something. Number two is vitamin C can help with progesterone production and vitamin E. There's several studies that have shown that vitamin E as an elephant can help support progesterone production. That's found in whole grains. Wheat germ oil is just one tablespoon of wheat germ oil has your whole daily value. So you can put that in a smoothie.
Yeah.
Almonds are also high in vitamin E. Nuts and whole grains for the
most part. So again, more foods that can sustain your vaginal health, your progesterone levels, all things to help you have a happy period, happy ovulation, hopefully be fertile, and then carry that pregnancy to term.
Yes. There are also vitamin E like suppositories for the vagina.
Oh, well, I use that during my
gut. Oh, you do?
I don't use it anymore, but during my gut health thing, they gave me that too. They're like, your hormones are all out of whack. And they did that. And I was like, all right.
Help with moisture, natural moisture production. Protecting the vaginal wall. So listen, vitamin E and D. D is like the vitamin of the century.
B as in boy or D as in dog?
D is D.
And we're all deficient in that now because anybody in the set.
And black women, brown women, oh my God.
So deficient.
So deficient. And I have this, so I haven't necessarily read this, but I have this inclination. Because I've been noticing that more brown and black women have more scarring on their bellies after giving birth. Like they have more of the stretchy skin that doesn't.
Yeah. For sure.
And I'm not saying it doesn't happen to white women, but I see it less than them.
For sure. We scar differently.
I believe that if you don't have enough vitamin D in your system, the quality of your skin is going to be different.
Mm.
And also your hormones in general. Like 100%. Vitamin D is actually being referred to as a hormone.
Huh.
You need vitamin D for literally every fertility component.
Everything.
Staying pregnant, like
breastfeeding, like everything. Y'all take your vitamins. Not take your vitamins, but find the foods that you need to like eat.
Yeah. Whatever.
Do whatever you got to do.
Even just 5 to 10 minutes out in the sunshine, put your sunscreen on. Like, do what you got to do.
Exactly. And that was just part one of my conversation with Dr. Janelle Howell, AKA the Vagina Rehab Doctor. Join us next week for part two, where we dive into more exercises and tangible resources that support your pelvic floor. Whether you have diastasis recti or vaginismus or prolapse, all these different terms that you may or may not know of that can happen after you have a baby. Also just more resources to support a happy vagina in general. So definitely don't miss that. If you all like what you're hearing, you can support the podcast by subscribing and leaving a review. 5-star reviews mean so much to me and the team, and it really helps us to keep going. Additionally, you can follow us on social media at That Twin Mama Podcast. If you're more of a visual person and wants to see some of these videos that go with these episodes, subscribe to my YouTube channel at That Twin Mama. So until next time, till we chat again, do something to support yourself today. You can't pour from an empty cup, so why even try?